Well, good morning, good morning, good morning, everyone, brothers and sisters, prayer warriors, intercessors, truth seekers, those who watch out for what's coming, amen, and praying for families and our families and families of the world, and praying for all the world affairs and events that are going on, because we claim to be God's people, and he said, if my people that are called by my name would just humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, that I would hear from heaven, says the Lord, and I would forgive their sins, first of all, and heal their land. So there's a cause and an effect of sin. And it may not always be our sin, but because we live in a world that's laden with sin, a lot of times it's because of those hypocrites out there, those blind guys, you know, those evil people out there with stiff necks, that lovers of themselves more than lovers of lies, liars. And, you know, you got so much heretics and apostates, and you got false prophets, false teachers. You got false everything out there, just like you have good out there. But the Bible says that we have to believe to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. And this year, you know, the Lord had mandated us back at the beginning of the year, and he said, this year, I want you to focus on belief. I want you to believe. And then I want you to declare what it is you believe and who it is you believe. And then I want you to be willing to wait on the things to manifest that you have believed and declared by faith. And so we are still on that journey. We're still under that cloud, that theme, you know, of believing, because we learned in the book of John, chapter 6, verse 29, the King James Bible. I was just ministering this to a young college student last night yesterday evening at Valdosta State, and he's all with a lot of concern. And I said, he was telling me about how effective his witnesses has been. And he was in church over the resurrection weekend, and got to Sunday school, and he was arguing with the bishop and the pastor, and they were teaching on the Holy Spirit, and he was trying to connect the Bible of Babel back in Genesis with the outpouring of the Holy Spirit on Pentecost. And we were just going back and forth, and I said, well, brother, let me just tell you this. I don't debate and argue about the scripture. I would tell you that those are two different events that don't have anything to do with each other, nothing in common. And you have to believe what the words say versus what man say. So I just want to enlighten you all and encourage you all. If I'm not giving you the word, you don't have to believe nothing I say. But if I give you the word, believe the word. Believe the word. Amen. That's what the Lord wants. Know what you believe, and know who you believe, and know why you believe it. Everything starts there. And when you read that verse of scripture in the book of John, the 6th chapter, verse 29 of the King James Bible, Jesus is speaking, and he's talking to his disciples, his followers, and that we're followers of Christ. We ought to want to know what he got to say to us. Amen. That's going to do us good. The Bible said, like a medicine to our flesh and marrow to our bones. And he's always watching over what he said, his word, in our mouth as we're declaring it, so he can perform it. He hastens to perform it. That Bible, that word means as soon as he hears it, he starts to perform his word. And when his word goes out of our mouth, which is saved to declare his works in the earth, when that word goes out, it's just like we're speaking on the behalf of him, because it's his word that's being published and declared by faith. He said that word will not come back void. It's going to take care of the purpose to which God sent it. It's going to do what he said. You know, it's going to take care of what he sent it to take care of. And we learned that he sent his word to heal our disease and rescue us from destruction. David wrote that in the book of Psalms, chapter 107, verse 20 of the King James Bible. The earlier scripture I quoted, Isaiah the prophet prophesied that in the book of Isaiah, chapter 55, verse 11 of the King James Bible. So shall my word be to go forth out of my mouth. Not going to return to God void. And then Jeremiah, in the book of Jeremiah, chapter 1, verse 12, the King James Bible, the Lord tells the prophet to put me in remembrance of what I said. Tell me what you see. You know, we want to see what he sees and hear what he hears, and we want to say what he says so we can have what he promised. That's the word of God. That's the effect it has on us. And so, again, this morning, I'd like to welcome you this morning to the Sunday morning School of Healing Virtual Wellness Center, and we're going to get here into the Word this morning and try to build up your faith this morning with the Word, because faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And I know we're faced with new challenges every day, something brand new that we've never seen before the day will show up suddenly. But I'm here to tell you, you still got to believe to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. And as we find God's Word and eat God's Word, that Bible says in the book of Jeremiah chapter 15, verse 16, the King James Bible, that words were found and we did eat them, and they become joy and rejoice into our hearts. So we want to experience that same experience that Jeremiah experienced when he was dealing with a lot of things. He was toiling. He wanted to give up. He wanted to quit. He wanted to run away. He didn't want to continue because there was so much opposition. There were so many new things that hit him every day while he was doing the work of the Lord. And so we can expect as believers that there's going to be some turmoil. There's going to be some trials, there's going to be some tribulations, there's going to be some challenges, and this is why we want to build ourselves up in our most holy faith, number one, praying in the power of the Holy Ghost, and then we want to find God's Word and eat this Word and hide this Word in our hearts that we might not sin against God, because there's always that possibility that something is going to anger me, something is going to oppose me, something is going to provoke me, and it's okay. The Bible says that it's okay to be angry, but sin not. There's got to be a limit where I pause and start thinking about things, and this is where the Holy Ghost comes in to help us. He's that helper that comes alongside of us like a paraclete. He's the promise of the Father. He's the teacher. He's the reminder. He's the builder of the fruit of the Spirit, and to operate the gifts of the Spirit as needed in certain situations and circumstances, so we don't find ourselves under the situation, under the circumstances, but we're always above everything. Amen. We keep thinking on things that are above, things that come down from God, that are honest and true and lovely and pure, and things that be of a good report, that if there be any virtue, any strength left in me, if there be any praise, amen, because God saved me and I'm saved, God healed me and I'm healed, therefore he must be my praise. If there be any of that left in me as a believer, then I think like that so that my heart and my mind can be kept by the Lord. I tell you, something is already churning and stirring already, because we've been resting ourselves. We've been getting the proper rest, which we've been talking about, and, you know, shutting things down and resting our minds, you know, and just doing things to keep ourselves, man, where we can function normally like we're supposed to. And sometimes we hit burnout. Sometimes we hit a wall. Seems like I can't concentrate, and things just ain't going right, and I got brain fog. We just wear ourselves out sometimes, worrying and stressing over stuff. Amen. When we have an advocate, his name is Jesus Christ, sitting at the right hand of the Father, making intercession for us. And sometimes we just have to call on his name, and that's how you run to the name of the Lord. You call on his name. That'd be the first name you call. Or we call, and the Bible said the righteous run into him, to Jesus, and we are safe. You know, safe places, dwelling in the secret place of the Most High, abiding under the shadows of the Almighty. And saying of the Lord, he's our refuge and our fortress, and in him do we put our trust, in the book of Psalms, chapter 91. So he's that safe place where we hide at, amen, calling on that name. And so again, I'd like to welcome all of you this morning. I am Pastor Lester Hayes, and my lovely wife, Pastor Sharon Hayes, greet all of you this morning in the awesome, incredible, amazing name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And we thank the Lord that Pastor Eric is on with us this morning to represent himself and Pastor and More Than Conquered Words for Christ ministry. And we thank Sister Estelle and her dear sister for being with us this morning. So we got enough to, amen, to entreat the Lord this morning. We thank him for his presence with us this morning. So we're going to pray and get into the Word this morning for a few minutes. It is Sunday morning, April the 7th. This morning moving right along, 2024. And so let's pray and then open up the Word this morning. Father, we come this morning together as one voice to cry out to you in the awesome, incredible, amazing name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We thank you this morning for the spirit of unity and spiritual harmony. And Lord, we want to just come together this morning and Holy Ghost just rightly, fitly join us together in this corporate setting and environment this morning. Even though we are virtual this morning, we thank you, God, for this venue. We thank you, God, for this platform and the many platforms that you have enlarged us with, that we can use technology together, no matter where we are geographically or physically. We're still able, Lord God, to come together on such a platform, Lord God, and still have communication one among another. And we can share things, God, share the word, share prayers, God, and we can share you, Lord, on these platforms. So we thank you. We consider it a blessing from the Lord, God, because you want us to be able to sharpen iron, sharpen iron. You want us to be able to encourage one another. And Lord, you have provided us. We fasted and prayed for 21 days, God, in book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 10, Lord God. First Chronicles chapter 4, verse 10, where you told us to pray for 21 days, the prayer of Jabez, and that you would enlarge our territory. Lord, this has been some years ago, that you enlarged our territory, that we might be able, as COVID came and shut us down from visiting the house of God, that you gave us this virtual ability. And we thank you, God. We call it a blessing from the Lord, that we're able to still, God, have church, still gather together. And you are still, God, providing us with your presence, your comfort, your strength. Holy Spirit, we commit ourselves to you this morning. We ask you to lead, God, direct, order everything going to be said, comments, prayer, pray this morning in the name of Jesus, and use it for your glory. Father, we pray over the many, many issues that we've been laboring in prayer to pray about. God, things going on in our world, turmoil, God. There is hatred out there, Lord God. There's division out there, Lord God. There's illness and sickness, and there's all kinds of false teaching, false prophecy that's been declared and proclaimed. There's fulfillment of prophetic prophecy that were foretold by the major and minor prophets. Some have already come to pass, some are coming to pass, and some will come to pass in these future days. But God, we're able to have our eyes enlightened by the word of God, because at the entrance of thy word, it gives it life. It allows us to be able to behold and see wondrous things from your plan of salvation. We thank you for our salvation. We thank you for Jesus Christ, your only begotten Son, the Messiah Christ, the anointed one, who came, Lord God, and laid his life down, Lord God, for our sins, became our substitutionary lamb, hung on that cross, and because of the merits of the finished work on the cross, we now have salvation through his death, his burial, and his resurrection. And we thank you this morning, and we praise you for resurrection life. We thank you that we were able to get up, call in, and get on the line this morning. We thank you for opening doors that nobody can open, and closing doors right now that nobody can close. We thank you, Lord God, for the magnificent, wonder-working power of Almighty God, who reigns from heaven above with wisdom, knowledge, and love. And we thank you this morning that you saved us and we're still saved. You healed us and we're still walking in divine health and healing. Therefore, you are our praise. And we enter your gate this morning with thanksgiving, Lord. We come in your courts with praise this morning because we know we are the sheep of your pastor. And it is you who made us, and we did not make ourselves. So we bless the Lord this morning, and we'll continue to bless you at all times. And our praise shall continually be in our mouth, God. We just give you praise, glory, and honor this morning, Lord God, because of the things you've already done, the things you're doing, and the things you promised to do, because you're faithful who promised. You're not a man who lies, God. You do what you say you're going to do, God, and you bring every promise to bear to fruition, Lord God. And we just give you so much praise this morning, Lord God. Hallelujah, Lord God. Glory to God this morning in the highest this morning. All your name be lifted up in the earth, God, as you draw men and women, drag them out of drugs and all kind of other illicit activity, Lord God. Drag them out of stuff this morning, pornography, God, fornication, Lord God, adultery this morning. Drag them out of serving and worshiping false gods, the night of another god, that making other gods before you, God, worshiping and honoring people, Lord God, when you are a jealous God, God, help us this morning, free us this morning from every yoke of bondage this morning. Let the anointing of Almighty God come and ascend upon the earthly realm, God, and eliminate the darkness on the land and the gross darkness on the people, because, God, we are your people crying out to you this morning on behalf of the affairs that are going on, God. We're praying for the backslidden. We're praying, God, for the lost of this world, the unregenerate and adulterous generation that's out there, God, hallelujah, that's worshiping and having other gods before you, God. We're praying against the spirit spirit of idolatry and rebellion, which is that witchcraft this morning, God, all kinds of sorcery, Lord God, apostasy, God. We're praying against every false way and false teaching and false preaching. We denounce these things this morning in the name of Jesus. Every high thing that tried to exalt itself above the knowledge of who you are, God, we pull down them strongholds. We cast those things down, even the ones in our own lives, Lord God, and we arrest our thoughts and bring them back into the obedience and the knowledge of who the Son of God is, Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. We lift up his name this morning, and we thank you for drawing those unsaved family members of ours and even the families of the world, Lord God, that are torn right now, Lord God, that are doubtful and unbelieving this morning. Oh, God, in the name of Jesus, we're praying, God, that you'll pour out your spirit upon all flesh on the earth. Oh, that our sons and daughters will prophesy, Lord God. Yes, call those old men to dream dreams and those young men to see visions this morning, Lord God. Let your will be done in our life here on earth as it is in heaven. Let your will be done, God. Hallelujah. On this earth as it is in heaven. Oh, we just give you the praise, the glory, and honor. We lift up your holy name this morning. Heal the sick this morning by the stripes of Jesus this morning. We demand it. Hallelujah, Lord God. Healing this morning by the power and authority of your spoken word this morning. But God, you sent your word, God. Hallelujah. To be a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path, God. You sent your word to revive us and give us life this morning, God. And we found that word. We eat that word. And God, it's a joy and a rejoicing to our heart. Even now, God, your word is quickening our mortal mind, bodies, and spirit this morning. Feeding our soul, feeding our bodies, feeding, hallelujah, our spirits this morning, because you declare, beloved, I wish above all things that I would have prospered and be in health, even as your soul prosper. Our way of life is prospering this morning. We're blessed in our bodies. We're blessed in our spirits. We're blessed in our hearts and our minds and our souls this morning, God. So we thank you this morning and we praise you this morning for your word, Lord God. That is a living word, God. Hallelujah. A quickening word, Lord God. We thank you this morning, Lord God, that your word is quick, sharp, and powerful than any two-edged sword, cut to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and the discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart of man. So we just give you praise, glory, and honor for your word this morning, a living word, God. Oh, God, we thank you this morning as we pray this morning for all that's going on, all that are in authority, that have rule over us, that they are governing, ruling a way that we may live quiet, tranquil, peaceful lives, God, on this earth. We're praying for peace and goodwill, God, for all mankind this morning. We're praying for the peace of Jerusalem. We're praying for the restoration of the prosperity within her walls. We're praying for an end to the war, ceasefire, God, that they may be able to receive, God, the essential supplies that they need, God, to tend to those that are struggling with starvation, those that need medical attention and help. We're praying for those souls, sick souls, volunteers that work with Mr. Andrea Gore Kitchen of the World to feed the hungry. God, we're praying that their souls, God, rest in peace, God, and we're praying for an end, Lord God, to the senseless bombing, that there will be peaceful solutions to resolve their differences and problems, God. There are two-state nations coexisting at the same time, Palestinians and, hallelujah, God, and those in Jerusalem, the Israelites. God, we just praying this morning that your will be done, God, among the Jews. And yes, God, and we're praying, God, that Hamas, God, be defeated, God, in the name of Jesus. Any other enemy out there to good and to the will of God, God. We just thank you for every opposing dark force haters this morning of good, Lord God. We're thanking and praising you for your divine help and intervention this morning, God, for just those supplies continuing, Lord God, to get to the ones that need them, God. We're praying this morning, God. Hallelujah, Lord God, for the sick among us, Lord God. We're praying for you with your stripes that they'll receive healing this morning. Pastor Sharon, myself, Lord God, Pastor Eric, Pastor Phoebe, Mother Ellen this morning, Deaconess McNair, Minister Bigger, Lord God, Brother Hal, Brother Ivan, anyone else on the line this morning, have family members that are going through, God. We're praying with the stripes of Jesus that they'll receive their healing this morning, Lord God. We just give you the praise, the glory, and honor, Mother Gustin, Mr. C.T. David, and many, many others, Lord God. We're praying that they continue the effort to find those four missing bodies, oh God, up in Maryland, God. We're praying for the effort to continue to repair that bridge, remove that debris, that people will get back, God, to that normal way of life, God. We just have so much to be thankful for as we cry out this morning, God, before you. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is your kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. And Father, we seek peace and calm over all these natural disasters, storms, and yes, flash flooding, Lord God, tornadoes, God, earthquakes this morning, Lord God. We're praying in the name of Jesus, God, that we pay attention to the climate, God, that we're creating an environment. God, we're asking this morning for environmental wellness, social wellness this morning. God, we're asking for rest this morning as we come to you who are heavy laden and burdened. Oh, that you might give us rest, God. We take of your yoke this morning and learn of you, God, that we may have that rest that transcends all understanding, that garrisons and mounts guard of our hearts in our minds this morning, that we may be kept in perfect peace because we keep our minds stayed on the Lord. This is our prayer this morning, God. We pray for our young people this morning who are in school. We're praying, God, for young people that have been missing lately, Lord God, kidnapping. We pray against it, God. We're praying for those young people that are missing right now to be returned back to their family members, some adults that have been missing, teachers missing. God, we're praying for the return back in the name of Jesus. And Father, we just pray over this political cycle that we're in, that people will vote their conscience, oh Lord God, not party, but country, Lord God, because we want the government to be upon your shoulders, Lord God. And we just pray for the righteous to be in charge, and we pray for the wicked, Lord God, to be taken out and taken down and replaced, God, with your choice, God, of authority, God. We give you the praise, we give you the glory, we give you the honor right now. In Jesus' wonderful name, we pray. Amen and amen. Holy Ghost, have your way. Lead, guide, direct, order our thoughts and steps this morning in our conversation. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen and amen. All right, then. Well, let's get into what we're going to talk about this morning in School of Healing. Word I believe that God wants to deal with this morning. I want to talk out of a pastor's scripture in the book of Psalms, chapter 147, I think it's verse 3, if I may just preface what I'm going to say this morning. Out of that book of Psalms, chapter 147, verse 3 of the King James Bible. And I want to be dealing with our sensory rest this morning. I'm thinking about this a lot. There is a lot of challenge in that area. When we start thinking about our sensory rest, we're talking about, you know, how we see things, how things smell to us, how we hear things, all of this, how we feel about things, all of this, you know, has an effect on everything else we've been talking about. And sometimes we don't even think of it in terms of sensory rest. We just, so those are six senses, but we never think about they need rest too. Because there is burnout out there. There is dysfunction out there. Sometimes we fall in that trap and we don't know why things smell the way they smell, why things seem the way they seem, why I feel the way I feel sometimes. There is a connection, you know, the way we are uniquely made by God. You know, we got things going on in our brain. You know, we got endorphins when sometimes when we see ourselves being happy, we don't realize there's an internal process where endorphins are being released. That's why we should smile more, laugh more, be happy more. I think the Lord knew what he was doing when he said, in the world, you're going to have trials and tribulations. They're going to attack our sensory areas. But he says, rejoice, because I've overcome the world. He wants us to have laughter. Laughter is so good for all of those sensory areas. Now, you may say, that don't sound like rest, because we only think of rest in one dimension. That's physical rest. We don't think about all the other parts of our body, our soul, our spirit, that requires rest in order to function at the best possible level. And so we want to deal with that a little bit. Understanding, learning, planning, and practicing our sensory personal self-care, shutting things down sometimes, putting our mind in another place sometimes, just imagining, you know, and a lot of time music help us do that, putting on some real nice incense on your counter with the oils and these little vapor things that give off that give off a real soothing aroma sometimes that can just put your mind at ease. I have one on my counter here, and I use it from time to time to clear the air, and I breathe it in, the vapor from it, man, it just opens me up, and I get rid of some of the brain fog, and I breathe easy, man, and before you know it, the whole atmosphere has changed, and there is this pleasant aroma in my space, and I take it in, I feel so much better. I love the smell. I got several of those different oils, and you just put a drop in there, you turn it on, and it just vaporizes the whole area. And I'm telling you, man, it is very soothing and relieving. So it kind of helps with understanding, learning, planning, and practicing our sensory personal self-rest. Once we become overstimulated with overwhelming issues of life, we need to have a process that we implement. That's kind of like our personal self-care, to medicate ourselves with all of these available resources. They're available. We're not just the only ones. And some of you maybe already practicing these things. I pray and hope that you are. Amen. And so because we can quickly become overstimulated, and that's a dangerous place to be. You know, with these issues of life, what happens is we create, we develop, and we tailor our personal sensory self-care plan, which can regulate or improve our mental functioning, our mood, because we get in mood swings sometimes. So one person or individual can regain self-control and their sense of calm and normalcy or normality. You know, sometimes we veer off into, you know, abnormal behavior. And a lot of times we don't understand it ourselves. We know something has happened. And there's a lot of reasons why we slip into that sometimes, that disconnect from reality. It's because it might be a new medication. It might be something that I ate, you know, chemical imbalance. It could be a lot of things why you got these impulses that come sometimes and it catches us off guard. And we don't always know why we react that way. We pray and hope sometimes it just be momentary, and we'll pray about it. You know, a lot of times it's just how we imagine things and how we hear things and how we see things is really not the way the reality is. It's just why I create my own reality. Why? Because we have creative power. And sometimes we can overstimulate our mind by thinking some things that ain't really the way it really is. It's just the mind. We know what the scripture says in the book of Proverbs, chapter 23, verse 7, the King James Bible, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. And sometimes we can have two thought processes going on at the same time. Our mind is so brilliant, it can do that. But we have to be careful because we have to be in control of that. If not, I'll be going around with two minds up in my head telling me what to do. And sometimes that's what happens to people. They get weak mentally because they haven't had no rest. You know, they get burned out. They hit a wall. They get brain fog. And now we become sitting ducks for the enemy. And one minute I'm thinking this and I'm saying this to myself. The next minute I'm thinking this and I'm saying that to myself. And I'm saying it about everybody else. And we start seeing things differently because that's another one of our sense of sight. You know, and we can create and develop, you know, some things that sometimes is another reality that's been created, and it'll overwhelm us, and we become overstimulated, you know, and overwhelmed by issues of life. Sometimes, let me find my scripture here, because I want to make with my scripture here, amen, and I said it was out of the book of Psalms, chapter 147, verse 3 of the King James Bible. And if we're ever going to be healed mentally and be strengthened mentally, you know, where all of this kind of begins up here in the brain, where these sensors get kicked in and they start functioning for us. Sometimes when they're weakened, but we don't shut them down sometimes, we don't escape away from the surrounding you know, impulses out here, then we'll reach that wall. We'll get that brain fog. But listen to what David wrote here, because David had to deal with a lot of input, had to deal with a lot of impulses, because he was the king. So everybody looked to him for leadership. Everybody looked to him for answers. Everybody looked to him to be that example. Just like sometimes in our families, we the chosen one. We might be the chosen one. We might be the wiser one, the smarter one. We might know a little bit more than the next person. And there's obvious sometimes who in the family is the strongest, who that people turn to in the family. Because, you know, your reputation precedes you. That's not for us to boast or brag. There is a reason why we are like that, because we have that strong relationship with the Lord. And it's not to create arrogance in us and pride in us, but it's to be able to put us in a position where we let our light shine, that people can see our good works, and they too will glorify our Father which is in heaven. They can see and acknowledge the Christ in us, not us, but the Christ in us. That's the hope that they should have. And so this is a very powerful verse of scripture here to personify, to amplify, this very thing that we're talking about, trying to get our minds around. So listen to what David wrote here in the King James Bible. He said he heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds, you know. And then, you know, he's letting us know right there. Listen to what he says here. He said, and I'm going to read verse 1, 2. He said, but I'm going to start at verse 1 and read a few of these verses. It's 20 verses, but listen to what David said. I love this song. He said, praise ye the Lord, for it is good to sing praises unto our God, for it is pleasant, and praise is comely. I mean, it looks good on us. I would rather praise the Lord than to be mad at God or to be mad at situations and circumstances where I got that on my countenance. Why? I've already been prepared, because he said, in the world you live in, son, daughter, you're going to have trials and tribulations. So expect that, but also expect God to be there for us. He never leaves us. He never forsakes us. He's given us a way of escape. No, nobody's tempted more than the next person. It's common unto man. God doesn't use, you know, bad stuff to tempt us, evil stuff to tempt us. That's the work of the enemy. He's a roaring lion, he is like a roaring lion. He ain't a roaring lion. He try to be one that goes to and fro seeking whom he may devour. We're not to be devoured. We're to be victorious, you know, and that's enough right there to bring about a rejoicing and a praise in me. Well, I found the word told me that, you know, I'm to be of good cheer, because, you know, he's already overcome the world for me. He's given us the victory. And we have to fight from that position of victory, the good fight of faith, holding on to the profession and the confession of our mouth. You know, he said it's comely. It looks good on us, you know. We're supposed to wear. We're the trees of righteousness. We're the children of God, because we received that power to become such. And anytime we're somewhere, we stand on the word, there comes a manifestation of what we believe. And then when we declare it by faith and believe in our hearts and don't doubt, we can get rid of mountains, whatever the mountain might be. Be back today at 11 o'clock. You're going to hear me talk about them mountains. And he says, the Lord doeth build up Jerusalem, you know, meaning what belongs to him, what has his signature on it. Well, guess what? We are part of that covenant too. We've been adopted in and grafted in. We were the bad olive branch. We were the Gentile. You know, and when they rejected him, he divorced them, but he also told them to go out now and share it with the Gentiles. So we got engrafted in, the promise became ours because they rejected him. It says he gathereth together the outcast of Israel. We are that extended family of God, part of the covenant of Abraham, which was first to the Jews, and then to the Gentiles, and then to the Greeks, and then to the rest of the world. So we got in because we believed on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, they did, you know, we got engrafted in. He says, you know, outcast of Israel, he healeth the brokenhearted and bindeth up their wounds. He telleth the number of the stars. God knows everything. He calleth them all by their name. We ought to rejoice because our names are written in the Lamb's book of life, you know, because we gave our life to him. my name went in the Lamb's Book of Life, and that right there is why we ought to praise him, because my name is in the book. Now I just have to endure to the end to be saved so that I can get my reward and my crown. That's shouting material right there. That's enough to have my heart overflowing with joy because I'm saved. I know how I got saved. I know who saved me. Man didn't save me. I didn't save myself. I could have died in my sin had not have been for the Lord on my side. So great is our Lord. This is what David says. Great is our Lord and of great power. I don't care where I am, where I've fallen to, what I think, God can reach me. He can reach anybody. Nobody can fall so low and get so deep and so far that God can't reach them. Why? He's omnipresent. There's no place that we're going to be on this planet that God is not. David said, if I ascend all the way above the heavens, you're there, Lord. If I descend all the way below Hades, all the way down to the forest, deep parts of the earth as I can go, you're there, God. There's no place I can go out of your presence. We have to understand that God is omnipresent. God is omnipotent and all-powerful. He's omniscient, meaning all-knowing. And he's omnibenevolent, meaning all-loving. We'll never be out of the presence of God, you know. He said, great is the Lord and of great power, you know, and that's who lives inside of us. The Holy Ghost, great is he that's in us and he that's in the world. He is God in us and every believer. His understanding is infinite. That's why David said, such knowledge about you, God, is incomprehensible. It's too high for me. So we just going to have to believe, you know, what God says. We can't comprehend it. You know, our thoughts are not his thoughts. They're so far away from each other. But the best we can do is renew ourselves in the things of God. Why? I'm stimulating my senses, my sensory ability. I'm smelling things differently. I'm seeing things differently. I'm hearing things differently. I'm feeling things differently because, you know, I'm slipping away from being overstimulated with all these worldly impulses that bring a lot of negative energy. They challenge who I am. Yes, and there's some foul stuff out there. We sometimes be driving. We go through areas where they have paper mills and all, and we be like, oh, man, that's terrible. All we want to do is try to get through it, man. You know, go by, waste processing stations. And sometimes it's just bad stuff in the air. You know, drives us crazy. It affects us. You know, it stimulates us. And sometimes we become overstimulated. You know, just like we can't get it out of our system, and we done drove 50 miles beyond, we still smelling it, and we still thinking about it. It causes such a reaction in us, and we get overstimulated by it. And sometimes we get a little upset. They need to do this. They need to do that. We start thinking totally different. Done took my state of mind away off of what I was thinking about. My music that I was listening to don't sound the same because I got that stench in my nose. And so my sensory rest is disturbed. Because I'm getting these impulses from outside and they attack my sensory realm, you know? And it does alter the way I think for a minute. And then David says, you know, understanding is infinite. He said, the Lord lifted up the meek, you know, those who stay lowly, don't get carried away and start blaming them folks over there because they running that old foul smelling meal, you know, over there. He casts the wicked down to the ground. So don't worry about what man can do to us. God is going to take care of the wicked out there. God is going to fight those battles for us because things, he don't want me to see things sometimes all the way in the negative sense. David said, you have to believe to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of Israel. Even though I'm driving through those foul areas, things looking rough, potholes everywhere, it affects my mental state. It'll throw me off. Got to remember, now I'm driving trying to get somewhere. So I got to get through that. Get on the other side of it. So I have to start thinking that I'm going to get through this. This ain't going to last forever. And before you know it, you done drove right out of it. You know, you got your music playing. Get caught up in the music. Sing praises if you need to. You know, we do that sometimes. Just to deal with the craziness out there on the road. Sometimes you got crazy drivers and people cutting you off. And it affects you. You done got well rested that night because you know you got that 12-hour trip you're going to make. Or you're going to the beach to have a good time in spring break. And we got to encounter all this stuff in between where I started and where my destination is at. And it does. It makes it seem like See, them folks start hitting us like we didn't get no rest at all. That kind of stuff would tire you out. Oh, God, how much rest you got? I don't care where you were at mentally when you started your trip. That first thing you encounter, man, will sometimes will rock your whole world, you know? And then don't hit no traffic jam. Oh, man, I was supposed to arrive at this time here. You know, I told the hotel I'd feed in chicken, and then all of a sudden you got a 3-hour delay because some accident up the road, something happened, you're seeing all these emergency vehicles and the other north. I'm telling you, it messes with you. Those are stimuli. They come in, stimulate your mind, and mess with your sense, and then you start smelling fuel, and you're breathing that stuff, and you're like, man, that must have been a fuel tanker that spilled up. I smell something that, you know, it affects you. You know, those are impulses that come in and start to mess with your sensory depth. And it affects our mental state, you know, it affects us in every way. And if you sit there too long, you start to get tired. The next thing you know, when you get through it, finally an hour later, you got to pull off in the rest area, empty your bladder, and just take a break because you've been overstimulated with that drama or with that. And sometimes it's something you can't help, you know, it's just something happens. He said, sing unto the Lord with thanksgiving. Okay, why? He lifted the meek. You know, God's going to take care of the wicked. So I don't have to let Satan come in and put all this stuff in my mind and try to exalt these wicked, evil thoughts. You know, we start fussing at the people. We start fussing at the condition. We start fussing at the situation. But see, that's wicked right there, trying to come in and cause you to come down from who you are in your position of victory. And now you're coming down, man, and you're angry. You're not stopping angry. You go beyond. You start saying stuff, speaking stuff. Got to remember now that Satan can't read your mind. He's just going to and fro. He wants you to be angry, and he wants your anger to take you to a place where you wouldn't normally go. You know, and he just pounces on it, and he just try to frustrate it. That's those impulses, and we got to be able to control them. How do we do it? Sing unto the Lord with thanksgiving. Sing praises upon the harp or unto our God. We know we ain't got no harp, but we got worship music. Play it. Who covereth the heavens with clouds, who prepareth rain for the earth, who maketh grass to grow. Amen. Upon the mountains, he giveth to the beast, you know, his food, and to the young ravens, which cry. So God can take care of nature. Don't you think he can take care of? He want to use nature to enlighten us, to put our minds at ease, letting us know I'm in charge. Those things that happen on interstate, whatever, that's not God. That was some childish person. That was something that happened. It was an accident. But we have to look to the hills when it's coming by. A lot of times we travel through mountains, we start looking at the mountain. We start looking at the formation. We start looking at the sky. We start looking in the mist. We see a lot from a long distance, those mountains over there. And we'll say, man, look at that house up there on top of that mountain. How did they get that house up there? You know, we might see a body of water all the way up there on the mountain. And it's like our minds are just lifted, and now we start imagining things. Our sense of sight kicks in, and we get stimulated by that. I like being stimulated, overstimulated with good stuff. You know, it's the horrible pictures that we see when we see a vehicle on fire. We see emergency ambulance with gurney out there taking people out, putting them on, and we got to see all of that. And we got to process that. Sometimes that throws us off, man, because we start thinking there could have been love. And we'll start thanking God. And he surrounds us with so much beauty, but we have to believe to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living, you know, or we'll be overstimulated, you know? And so, you know, so we gotta learn how to, you know, see good and see God and in the midst of all of that, you know, because he made grass grow, you know, the mountains are there for he made those mountains. He feed all the animals. God is just he just all powerful, man. He this earth belongs to God, you know. He delighteth not in the strength of the horse. He taketh no pleasure in the legs of a man. God is above all that. The Lord taketh pleasure in them that fear him, and those that hope in his mercy. Praise the Lord, O Jerusalem. Praise our God, O Zion. For he has strengthened the bars of the gates of thy gates. He has blessed the children within thee. Man, I'm praying for Jerusalem to have their prosperity restored. He maketh peace in thy borders. He filleth thee with the finest of the wheat. He sendeth forth his commandments upon the earth, my God. His word runneth very swiftly. Who marches on, no matter what's happening on this earth. He giveth snow like wool. Yeah, we see a lot of snow in the Colorado Mountains, Rockies right now. Some people are thrown off by it. He scattereth the hoarfrost like ashes. He casteth forth his ice like morsels. Who can stand before his cold? He sendeth out his word. He melteth them. He causes his to blow and the waters flow. He showeth his word unto Jacob, his statutes and his judgments unto Israel. He hath not dealt so with any nation. And as for his judgments, they have not known them. Praise ye the Lord. Now, when I read this, my heart just became, because see, nothing is by God. That's because God is in charge. And I should stimulate my senses with that. That's where I should be thinking about that, being stimulated about that. If there's gonna be some impulses, then go to the word of God. Everything changes when you look into the first law of living continues. One of the things that I'm stimulated with, and I know you are too, I know right now as I read that, there were some things in there, man, that hit you that you never thought about before. And it's supposed to, because it conditions your mind to also think about there's goodness in the land, even though there's darkness, there's gross darkness. But when God is in control, you know what I'm saying? That means everything that sounds bad can be turned around by God and worked out together for our good. And so here is the stimulation of our sensory organs, or how we see things. In the book of Proverbs, chapter 17, verse 22, the King James Bible, let me say this. It says, a merry heart doeth good like a medicine, but a broken spirit drieth the bones. Don't let all this stuff that we can't control going on around us dry up our bones, dry up our senses, dry up. It's like we can't function. These things are going to happen. We in a world that's imperfect. We in a world that's partly laden with sin and evil. And people just do things because they want to be seen. They want attention. They're full of pride. They don't love life. They don't love people. They just want the world to just be for them. And sometimes they'll call home to people to try to, like they're trying to help God. And then they'll say, God told them to do it. We got to deal with this craziness. And it affects us. It disturbs us. It stimulates us in a negative way. So we have to have something that stimulate us for good, or we'll burn out. We'll wear ourselves out. Something smell bad or be worse than just bad. Because we'll start thinking about how bad it is. You know? And we won't be able to maintain that merry heart that do it good like a medicine. But our spirit will be broken and they'll be like dry bones. Because we just can't, it's like brain fog. You just can't think like you normally think if you wasn't in that situation. And that's in the book of Proverbs, chapter 17, verse 22 of the King James Bible. It affects our ability. We see things differently. We hear things differently. Things smell different. We're out there in the midst of it, you know. It comes through the vents in the cars, affects you. And sometimes you just got to sit there for 2 hours to get through it. You can't stop smelling. It's giving some impulse to you. And we start talking about it. And what we say about it is just as fine as what it is. You know, it's just, you know, who we are. We're wired that way. In the book of James, though, chapter 5, verse 13 and 16, the King James Bible, I love this passage. It says, Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. That's number one. Let him pray. Many times when we have roadblocks and things and accidents, we start praying. Lord, get us through this. Lord, move that out the way. God, we pray that nobody lost their life. God, we pray that that emergency folks get that cleaned up. You know, because you're looking down the road, man, and you're seeing miles of traffic. And you're thinking, those people must be upset. You see those 18-wheelers, they got stuff on the back they're trying to deliver. Our son is out there. So we definitely start praying, you know, because we don't know everything that we see in things, but we really don't know what state of mind, how those people are stimulated. We just know how it's stimulating us. Let that stimulation, let those impulses drive us to pray about it, you know, to let him pray or them pray. Is any merry? We just said a merry heart do a good like a medicine. So we got to find something to make us merry, even though it's chaos all around us. You know, it's on us. He says it. He calls for it. Is any merry? Somebody ought to be merry. Yeah, we're afflicted, but is anybody merry? Let him sing what? Psalm. Is any sick among you? So if we sick, let us be merry. Why? Because we know God is a healer. Let him call for the elders of the church if that's necessary and are available to us, and let them pray over him. I'll say them, anointing them with oil in the name of the Lord, if that's physically possible. Doesn't say that we still can't pray that God would touch them. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise them. I'll say them, it says him up. And if he hath committed sin, sin is always around somewhere. Might not be me, but it might be somebody out there got crazy and caused that accident, you know, did something stupid, might have been road rage, could have just been an accident. They shall be forgiven him, you know, them, you know. Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that ye may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of the righteous man or people availeth much. That's in the book of James, chapter 5, verse 13, the King James Bible. There is a lot of stimulus, good stimuli packed in that verse, in the patch of scripture that I just read you. And it helps us because our sensory rest gets thrown off sometimes. Because we're out of our home now. We can control this environment. You know, we can put that oil in the hang on the counter, and we can smell that aroma, you know, we can relax, you know, we can put on our music. But when I step outside of my habitat, man, you don't know what kind of stimuli gonna hit you out there. And we'll get overstimulated with that stuff. I call it impulses. They can be negative or they can be good. This is why we have to get well rested before I get out here, before I go out here. Because what do we say? We don't know what tomorrow's going to hold. But we got to prepare ourselves today for tomorrow. So we can't stop tomorrow. Tomorrow is coming with all these issues in life, these challenges that have not been seen yet. So we can't just, you know, assume that we know what's going to happen. Only thing we can control is how we prepare ourselves. And we talking about sensory rest. You know, doing something to prepare ourselves so that when we go out there, you know, we're ready for it. We already thought about it. You know, we prepared for it. And so it's gonna hit us, but it don't have to overwhelm us. And so many people are overwhelmed because they're unprepared. And things look different. They hear things different. They see things different. They smell things different. They feel about things different. Why? We didn't visit the Word of God before. And renew our mind that, yeah, it's a possibility. It's a possibility, you know. And so I'm prepared for it. And sometimes we take things in the car with us to be prepared for it, you know. And so, Father, we thank you this morning. We praise you this morning, Lord God, for what we've just been stimulated with, Lord God. We thank you for giving us reason to have a merry heart this morning, so that our bones and our spirit don't dry up, Lord God. You say your word is like medicine to our flesh and marrow to our bones, God. it quickens us, God. It quickens our mind, causes us to think differently before we encounter any of these negative impulses and stimuli that's out here. We prepare ourselves, we fortify ourselves, we renew our minds in the things of God so that we are ready to face whatever the challenges may be, God. We're prepared for them because your word prepares us, God. As David wrote, as David was prepared, as James wrote, God, as Solomon wrote, all of this, God, is to prepare us, God, for the unknown, Lord God. That we it's like we pre-stimulate ourselves, our minds, our bodies, our souls, before we go out and engage all of these impulses out there. And so we thank and praise you for sensory rest, God. We thank and praise you that we understand a little bit better what it takes and what it is, God. And so we give you praise, we give you glory, we give you honor this morning for your word. That's good for us. It's like a medicine to our flesh and marrow, to our bones. For your word says, God, that you heal and you give us strength. You give us healing in our souls, in our spirits, in our minds, and in our bodies, and in our lives, God. And so we thank you this morning. Let it be unto us today and every day according to the book of Psalms, chapter 147, verse 3 of the King James Bible. He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. Even in the book of Proverbs, chapter 17, verse 22 of the King James Bible, you said a joyful heart is good medicine, but a crushed spirit dries up bones. And so we thank you this morning that we have that prayer of faith. We can pray that will save the sick, and the Lord will raise us up. And if we have committed sins, you said they will be forgiven. So we thank and praise you this morning that we have your word, and we take it like a medicine. And it's good, 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 good for our flesh and marrow, for our bones. We thank you this morning, Father, and we praise you for your word. Now let us hide it in our hearts that we might not sin against you. We thank you for a sensory rest this morning in Jesus' name. Stimulation, not overstimulation, not overwhelm. But God, the word helps us, God, to be in perfect peace that transcends all understanding, that garrisons the mouth guard of our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. We thank you, we love you, and we praise you for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.